Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We're going to that Fireball VIP line, talking to former Denver Broncos offensive tackle, Ephraim Salaam, joining us here.
I'm here.
Hey, Ephraim, how's it going tonight, man? Thanks for joining the show.
Good, man. Of course. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. I first have to ask you, though, in this unusual offseason, how in the world can an offensive line, especially one like the Broncos, learning a Pat Shurmur system, kind of come together as fast as possible with, you know, no preseason, an interesting ramp-up training camp? What kind of complications does that do to the big guys up front? Because as we all know, everything's won and lost in the trenches.
Yeah, it is. And it's important for those five offensive linemen to be on the same page, right? So no other position on the field, offensively or defensively, works in tandem like the five offensive linemen do. The simple matter is four guys can go the right way and one can go the wrong way and something disastrous is going to happen. So building that chemistry without actually having practice and actually going through it, it's going to be tough. All of, you know, the off season. You know, some players like it, some players don't. But when you're putting in systems and you want to be a cohesive unit, offensive line-wise, you need that extra time. Very, very important.
Ephraim, how is it that, or if at all, that having no fans maybe at practice and therefore not at the games, does it change things for maybe offensive linemen for the better opposed to the worse?
I'll tell you one thing: you'll be able to hear when you're playing an opposing team. So I would 1,000% say that's going to benefit offensive linemen. The worst thing you can do is go into hostile territory and not be able to be on the snap count. All of those things play into playing on the road, and not having that, I think it'll be a huge asset.
13-year NFL vet and former Denver Broncos offensive tackle Ephraim Salaam joining us here on Nick and Cecil. Now, I got to tell you, from a couple days ago, I was talking to our man Orlando Franklin, and I said, you know what I'm going to miss about training camp? Watching the pit drill, the one-on-one offensive line versus defensive line. He said, man, get out of here. I hated that drill because it's set up for the defensive lineman to win, and he's done 1,000, 2,000 of them. He's only won, 10 of them or whatever. Like, is that the real? Because it's always my favorite drill to watch, offensive line versus defensive line in the pit. Am I way off base here?
You are way off base. You're way off base from an offensive lineman standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, you're right on. It's the most, especially in training camp, it's the thing with the most action outside of team, you know, first team offense against first team defense. That's where the action is. Receivers and DBs are over there running next to each other, mirroring each other. No one's really making any contact. It's just, you know, it's a pitch and catch drill. But for, you know, offensive and defensive linemen, when you're doing one-on-one, that's the real full contact that you have. Like that in the 9-on-7 drill, the run inside run drill,
right?
That's where fans get to really see actual football happening in terms of collisions and you know, just trying to dominate somebody physically. But as a player, man, please. And I'll tell you this, when I got older, once I got to around year 8, 9, 10, I wasn't doing any more one-on-one drill. Not going to happen. Not unless I wanted to work on something. Because Orlando's right, it is skewed for the defensive lineman to have the advantage. Everything in the game is skewed. Number one, we're backing up. All right? So imagine at the snap of the ball, you have to retreat while someone tries to run down your chest. All right? That can't, right? So now I'm retreating. He's in a sprinter stance,
right,
with his head down, flying into my chest, I have to stop all of his momentum, redirect it, and like, none of that is set up for us to be, you know, successful. The good ones just are able to do it, because we're just a little bit more, we're just a little bit smarter than defensive linemen.
I was waiting for Ephraim to kind of toss that out, that, hey, we are smart.
You already know, nigga. No.
Stop it. Stop it. So we have a huge training camp battle at left tackle, Garrett Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson. And you were able to play in this league for 13 years. If you're either of these guys, what should the mentality be for these guys coming in, knowing as though they're not just competing for the starting left tackle job, but it could be competing for their football lives?
Yeah, so for me, as a seventh-round draft pick coming into the league, when I got to camp, it was, you know, my goal was to make the team as a seventh-round draft pick. But when I got there and realized I had every right to be there, then my goals shifted. It was like, okay, now I want to start. And I had the opportunity to compete. At this level in the NFL, all you want is to be able to compete. If you can compete for a job, that means you can bet on yourself. And that, and these two gentlemen have this opportunity. You have to bet on yourself. You have to outperform the person you're competing against. That's what professional sports is about. Right? And the league had gone away from that a little bit. The league started to go away from, you know, putting the best 11 on the field to who are we paying the most money to.
Mm.
Right? I remember in 2008 when I was in Houston, they drafted Dwayne Brown in the first round, 26th pick. And I had been starting there for 3 years. And before the draft, they told me everything was going to be fine. I'm the guy. After the draft, they called me in before we had a mini camp, before we had anything, and told me that Dwayne was going to be starting. And I didn't understand. And I was like, well, how is that possible? And they were like, well, we're paying him a lot of money, so he's got to play. I said, well, what is he not ready to play? Which he wasn't. And he'll say, he'll tell you that himself. It just didn't matter. Right. And it didn't matter. And I was told so much. So I was like, look, they told me that I can push him. We can push him as hard and fast as we want. If he fails, we know we have you to step in. Like that was the mentality, opposed to letting someone come in and be ready to be successful. Now, Dwayne turned it around. It was rough. It was rough. First couple of years were really tough for him. A lot of players, to his credit, he bounced back and became one of the premier left tackles in the league. But a lot of players can't recover from that.
Right, right. Ephraim Salon joining us here on Nick and Cecil, former Broncos offensive tackle, of course, 13-year NFL veteran. I want to talk about Mike Munchak and just what great coaching can do. As you went through your career having great coaching along the way, how can that help out this young Broncos offensive line?
You know what? Because great coaching, like people who know, right? They understand, like, everyone isn't going to be, have the same technique. Everybody's not going to be cookie cutter. When I got to Atlanta, Art Shell told me, I was a left tackle in college. So when I got moved over to the right side, I was a little bit out of sorts. And Art Shell told me, hey, look, man, I don't care how you get it done. Just get it done. Right? That's that experience. That's that, that wisdom, that knowledge. Like, look, it's not going to be pretty. Your technique might not be up to par, but as a rookie, we need you to block. I don't care what. If you're having problems with the steps, switch your feet up. Just get it done. And just having that type of mentorship and coaching at that position is going to pay dividends for these young players.
So speaking of that type of coaching and leadership, let's go right in your wheelhouse and even in your offensive line meeting room with one Alex Gibbs, a very outspoken coach, so much so that he would yell at DBs, and he didn't coach us. So give us a training camp story about the great Alex Gibbs.
I remember the first time I got to Denver from Atlanta and going through our first practices. They were faster practices than I had ever experienced before, and Nick, you can attest to this. Everything was full speed. I'm talking about full speed, whether you had pads on or not. Everything was full speed. And I was kind of, I was like, well, we don't have pads on. So what? Like, I was kind of a step slow. And I remember Alex called me after practice. He said, hey, come here. So he said, take a knee. So we're taking a knee. And he was like, look, you're the one we wanted. You're the one here. All right? So I don't know what's wrong with you, but you need to get up to speed. If you don't get up to speed, you're going to be speeding out of here. Right? So just know. So just know. Either you get up to speed, or we're going to speed you beep, 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 beep to the airport. Right? It was one of those conversations. And I've always said this about Alex. Love him or hate him, which most people hate him. I said he's either going to get good or you're going to get gone. There's no in between. It's no easy going to get good or get gone. Like, cut blocking was a huge part of the offensive line play in Denver. And Alex would always say, either you cut him or we're going to cut you. That was it. Right? Like, some guys, like, I came from a power system, where we didn't do a lot of cut blocking. Right? So I have to hear, either you cut him or I'm going to cut you. Right? So you gotta get yourself ready to play at that level, at that speed, with that technique, or Alex was not shy about replacing you at all.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right for Alex Gibbs. Ephraim Salon joining us here. Nick and Cecil. And Ephraim, appreciate your time. My final one for you. Actually, I'm looking at your Twitter profile, and everyone follow him at Ephraim Salam on Twitter. And the Master Chief picture. It looks like it's on a Halloween Fox Sports set. Is that right? Like, are you a big Halo guy, or is that just?
I am a Halo guy.
You are a Halo guy. Okay, so I'm a Gears of War guy, but I'm right there with you. I'm not as good at Halo, but I'm right there with you, man. I love that.
Oh yeah, I'm a gamer, right? So my whole family, my wife is a gamer, my kids are gamers. We're all gamers. So you know, Halo is my number one game. And the funny thing is, speaking of the Broncos, that's where I learned how to play Halo.
Did you do it at on the old school OG Xboxes and you'd connect them together on one TV?
Yes.
You had two Xboxes and one TV?
We'd all be in the training room, in the equipment room, playing Halo. Like all the whole offensive line. I was wondering where everybody was going to lunch. They would get their food and go into the back of the equipment. I'm like, where's everybody going? I come back there, they got the TV set up playing Halo.
That sounds absolutely right, you know, Ephraim. Now, you have done something that a lot of players definitely struggle with, and that's transition. But you've transitioned into something that is entirely different. You went the Hollywood route. Now you are Ephraim Salam, the Hollywood producer. How did you go about making that transition?
I've always been in entertainment. So even when I was there in Denver, I had a radio show and I had a television show, Fox Sports, Rocky Mountain. And so that was always my interest. And even in the off season, I'd come out to LA and, you know, host different shows for all the networks, so on and so forth. But right around 2003, my brother, who was playing basketball overseas, called me and said he had an idea for a movie. And he flew out to Denver. We talked about it, ended up getting a script together. I invested in the movie. He directed it. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of our foray into Hollywood. Now, I will tell you this. There were a lot of missteps and a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. But we stuck with it. And we were able to carve out a niche for ourselves. In the world of Hollywood, and we probably have one of the most successful independent film companies. It's called Hidden Empire Film Group. We've had a string of hit movies come out theatrically. All of this is independent. You know, we put our own money into it. It's a learning process, but I love entertainment. I love to create. I'm also a writer. I've worked on two premium cable television shows in the writer's room. So I'm not just producing, I'm looking at creativity from every standpoint. And if you, like, as a player, former and current player, if you're interested in this, hit me up on Twitter, man, and I'll, whenever we're shooting a movie, we're actually shooting a movie right now, I'm not supposed to be talking about. But, I love to get guys involved and bring them out to the set so they can really, see, and not just see what goes into producing, writing, creating. And not just putting money in, right? Anybody can put money into a film, but can you make a film?
Well, I tell you what, man, it's great to talk to you every time. You're always funny, you're always hilarious and entertaining. That is why you made your transition to Hollywood so easy. And as you sit in those writing rooms, I tell you what, there are three people here that would love to make their acting debut. Sisu, myself, and our producer, DJ Scratch and Sniff. That's what we call him. So, hey, if you're working on a film, big budget, small budget, just know you got three guys here in Denver that you can write into any movie you want to. So, appreciate you, man. Be safe out there in California. But just know that. I'm just going to put it out there right now.
I got you.
Okay.
Nick, I got you, man. You're my guy.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Absolutely.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.